Well, kids, and don't forget to drop over for the party.
Hey, Mr. Hope, but I...
Well, and if it isn't Archie of Duffy's Tavern.
Mr. Hope, I heard you throwing a Christmas party, so I says to myself, I says, Archie, why don't you help Hope out and get him some talent? And not just plain first-rate talent, you know.
Better than that?
Second-rate.
So you want to get me some entertainment for my party, eh, Archie?
Yeah, for an allotment, of course. You know, you ain't talking to no bum.
We live and learn.
Yeah. Now, I can get you a certain person who is in great demand at parties.
Oh, you can? Well, who is he?
I can get you Bing Crosby.
You mean my straight man in the movies?
Yeah, the fella they all laugh at. The guy is a very good singer, you know. Quite a career this Crosby's had. You know, he studied for 8 years before he found out he couldn't sing, and by that time he was too famous to quit.
Archie, I know that with a client like Crosby, you probably get 50% commission, so rather than see you lose it, I'll say, go get Crosby.
Okay, Mr. Hope, your wish is my command. Excuse me while I repair to his dressing room. Knock, knock.
Come in.
Oh.
My dear Archie, it's so good to see you. May I tell you, it warms the cockles of this old wandering troubadour's ticker to find himself in the comforting presence of such an estimable character as yourself.
Crosby, you pop out syllables like they were sons. I don't mind them big words, you know, but, you know, it ain't fair to people that don't understand them.
Like who?
Like you. Hmm? So leave us lay off. If you want to use big words, you know, I'll match your vocal... I'll match you anytime.
Okay, Archie, truce. Tell me, how are things at Duffy's?
Well, the place has been closed for altercations.
Oh. Now, you mean alterations. Altercation is a fight, a brawl.
Mr. Crosby, what happens at Duffy's ain't no taffy pull. When we reopen, you won't hardly know the joint.
Well, the sight may be different, but I have a hunch the smell will be the same.
That's where you're wrong. We just sprayed the place with uranium. You see, we're going to retrench.
Retrench?
Yeah, enlarge the joint. Also, we're going to add a new Swedish cook, a dame, you know, one of them smorgasbords.
Archie, what did you come to see me about, really?
Well, it's like this. Bob Hope and me was talking about how many people get by on the radio without no talent, you know, and somehow or other your name came up.
I'm honored.
Well, anyways, that's what started the argument.
What argument?
About who's better, you or Sinatra, you see. So Hope says, look, Archie, sometimes Bing ain't as good as Frankie, and sometimes Frankie is better than Bing. And sometimes it's just the other way around.
There's two sides to every question, of course.
Yeah. So I says, look at it logical, Bob. Bing is to Frankie as Stravinsky is to Haydn, see? So Hope says, you're wrong, Archie. Bing is the one that should be Haydn.
Thank you.
Okay, no compliment intended. Crosby, leave us stop this shilly-dally and get down to business.
What's on your mind, Archie?
Well, I want you to sing on Bob Hope's Christmas party.
I suppose if it's for Hope, it's for charity.
How much do you get back? Well, I wasn't coming to that, but here I am. Well, at Duffy's, you remember I offered you $15 a week?
You think I was worth it, Arch?
No, but what can you get for $15 these days? do you know how much I'm going to ask for you from Hope?
How much?
$20.
$20?
Yeah.
Suppose he finds out I work for you for the 15.
I'll tell him it included meals. Don't forget, 3 meals a day, 7 days a week at Duffy's Tavern is easy worth $2.
Well, 15 and 2, that's only 17.
Yeah, well, since that time you made that picture that's going my way so that your name is worth something. That'd be another buck.
Yeah, but that's only 18. How are you going to get the other two?
The other two? It sure is tough getting you big dough, Crosby. But you know that Hope ain't too bright neither, so maybe we can railroad her.
Well, you do the best.
just grand. I saw you. Say, most of you used to look forward to finding an orange in your stocking on Christmas morning. But instead of an orange today, we bring you a Florida peach, Miss Frances Langford. Right here. Say.
Hello, Bob. Merry Christmas, boys.
Frances, you're coming to my Christmas party, aren't you?
Oh, fine. Are you going to play Santa Claus again this year?
No, last year I got in a lot of trouble playing Santa Claus.
You did?
Yeah, I had a big pillow tucked under my belt, and I'll never forget a tough kid came up and punched me right in the stomach.
What'd you do?
I snowed on him for 10 minutes.
You never told me, Bob. How'd you like that beautiful white sweater I knitted for you last year?
Oh, it was swell, Frances, but it was a little loose and stretchy.
Loose and stretchy?
Yes, I put it on Christmas morning and hung down on my hips. By noon, it was down to my ankles. And in the evening, I was coming out of a flower shop with a back dragging along the ground, and an old woman said, "You're a lovely bride, my dear, but where's the groom?" Santa...
Huh?
Let's not get antagonistic, folks. I told you we ought to break this thing up. Santa was pretty good to you last year, wasn't he, Frances?
Oh, yes. Lots of people gave me expensive presents. And I got a gift from you, too, Bob.
Oh, now. Now, wait a minute, Frances. That wasn't a cheap necklace I gave you. Those pearls looked exactly like the real thing. They were nice and white and shiny, weren't they?
Yes, Bob. You certainly did a wonderful job of spraying Pepsodent on those BBs.
Well, how about giving me a hint this year, Frances?
Oh, I don't really need anything, Bob. I'm happy enough with these new nylon stockings.
Oh, is that new parachute nylon the government released?
Yes. In fact, these happen to be made from a parachute.
Oh.
Bob, stop looking for the ripcord.
Just trying to win my wings.
Well, taxi down the runway while I take off with the song.
So the loneliness deep in my heart calls to you, calls to you. I live in the memory of many dreams ago, when the stars were bright and you were mine alone. My love for you cannot die, though the oceans run dry or heavens fall from the sky. Now you're gone. Bahia, can you hear my lonely call? Morena, make my life complete again. I pray for the day when I'll see your smile and my heart will be
this Christmas command turns to...
Well, pardon me, Bob, but I got to talk to you right away.
Well, it's the professor from the College of Musical Knowledge, Kay Kaiser. Say, did you get the invitation to my Christmas party?
Yes, Bob, and that's what I want to see you. You know, I got to get some advice.
You came to me for advice?
Sure, Bob. I want to get a girl to take to the party, and I don't know where to get one.
Okay, just follow a pair of slacks down Hollywood Boulevard.
But, Bob, men and women both wear slacks. How am I going to tell them apart?
Oh, you'll think of something. Well, don't worry about girls. After all, you know what Kipling said. A woman is nothing but a rag, a bone, and a hank of hair.
I know, but they're put together so nice. Honest, Bob, I've tried everything. I just can't get a girl.
Well, Kay, maybe the trouble with you is you're too skinny.
Me? Skinny? Well, I'll have you know I weigh 125 pounds.
Really? What do you weigh stripped?
I don't know. I'm bashful.
All right, Kay, I'll find a girl for you. Let me see my little black book. Pamela Jones. Great in the picture show, but demands load seats.
He used to be in my band. He's got to laugh.
Yeah. Yet it looks like he's one that wants to come back. That's the fella you paid, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Kay, I'll find a girl for you. Let me see my little black book.
Now you won't
laugh at me. I don't have a band, brother. Peggy Stafford, trained in Griffith Park. Oh, here's the one for you. Here's the one for you, Kay. A very refined and charming girl. You know, Boston family, high society. Oh, no. No, no use calling.
Why not?
This is Friday. She wrestles tonight.
Don't worry. That me? Oh, no. That's you.
Read anything through there. It all sounds... I told you to wear the thick lenses. It's right there. This is for this Christmas, you know.
I don't know how I'm going to come to your party, Bob, if I can't find a girl.
Oh, well, don't worry, Kay. There's a girl waiting for you in some nook or cranny.
Well, what do you do, men?
Well, there's one from the cranny.
Here's where I kill two birds with one stone. Say, Kay, you want a nice, pure girl, don't you?
I sure do.
And Cash, you want a nice, simple fella, don't you?
I do.
I now pronounce you pure and simple.
Oh, well, maybe we can still have fun. After all, beauty is only skin deep.
Yeah. Who paled you?
Well, I'm getting out of here. I've got to find a girl.
Oh, well, GK, how am I ever going to catch a man? Say, do you think I should wear a heavier perfume?
No, wear a lighter perfume and carry a heavier club.
Don't have to do that. Oh, gee whiz. Another romance, another failure. Every time I thought I was going to get married, I planted seeds to raise my own orange blossoms.
You did?
Yeah. Now I got 10,000 crates of oranges and no one to squeeze them. Like that. Say, look, Kay, take me to the party tonight. You won't be ashamed of me, honest. Look, I'll be all dressed up and wearing my low-cut gown with no back and no sleeves and no straps.
A gown with no straps, no sleeves, no back? Oh, pray tell me, miss, what holds it up? The law of gravity?
No. Laws of California.
I'll take it over, Cass. Maybe I will take you to the party.
Oh, well, wonderful, Kay. You know, I'm so happy I could sing.
Okay, you take it on the high note, and I'll take it on the lamb.
Okay, don't even... I realize
that a beauty prize is something I never will take. I'm quite aware neither pills nor prayer can rectify nature's mistake. I guess I'm an also-ran, me with my gorgeous pants. Every time I try to get a man, he always gets away. Well, you can't blame a gal for trying. There was one who seemed to love me till I tried to name the day. Well, you can't blame a gal for trying. One guy almost married me the very night we met. Then he saw me in the daylight and he ain't stopped running yet. I may never get a sucker for the broken down brunette, but you can't blame a gal for trying. Just the other day in a small cafe, there at the bar, in his hand a big black cigar. He was swinging, but not on a star. That guy was drinking like a fish. He looked kind of shy. I saw in his eye a gleam he could not conceal. He said, "Have a drink." Then I gave him a wink and answered, "It's a deal." Down went the bourbon, down went the soda, boy, I was feeling gay. Then he put his arms around me and I said, "Take your hands away." Then his wife walked through the door, "Come in my way." That dame looked like 6'4". Come in my way. Oh, she banged our heads together. Oh, she was as tough as leather. It was murder, Jack. Boy, did she get rough. It was murder, Jack. She started throwing stuff. And when she punched me squarely in the jaw, you'll never know how many stars I saw. And round I went, down and down I went. She stretched me out flat on the floor. Then she roared, "I'm out of ammunition." Because my jaw was swollen tight, I had to call the doctor that morning to see if everything was still all right. And when he opened up my mouth that morning, he said, "My dear, there's not a tooth inside. I'll never smile again. My smiling days are through. I'm always making up my mind to stay away from men. But when I see something wearing pants, I get the same old yen. I may wind up in another mess, but here I go again. Well, you can't blame a gal for
trying. Think about, Cass. now for all you men in the armed forces who happen to be 13-year-old girls, we bring you your one and only singing favorite, the first atom ever split, Frank Sinatra. Lie down anywhere.
Thank you. That's a very peachy introduction, Dad.
Peachy?
So only 13-year-old girls like me, huh?
That's what I hear.
All this stuff about 13-year-olds and me is just plain propaganda. I know one beautiful movie star who goes for me, and she isn't 13 either.
Really? I didn't know Lassie cared.
Well, she does.
Yeah, come to think of it, Frank, why shouldn't Lassie love you?
Sure.
That's a great thrill for a dog, hearing a pile of bones sing.
You been talking to Crosby lately, boy?
Can't miss him. Well, after all, Frankie, the guy works at the same studio with me. I gotta talk to him sometimes. You see, he has the key to the washroom.
I thought Crosby was behind all this. Why does he insult me that way? Why, I wouldn't hurt a fly.
Not even if you sat on one.
Honest, Bob, I don't know why Bing should treat me like this. Why, I've never said anything but the nicest things about that fat old gentleman.
Frankie, look, this is Christmas. The time of goodwill and brotherly love. You shouldn't call Bing a fat old gentleman.
Well, he's fat, isn't he?
Yes.
He's old, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a
See how wrong you are? What better time is there than Christmas to end all this petty squabbling?
Well, what do you suggest, Bob?
Well, why don't the two of you get it all out of your systems at once? Insult each other as hard as you can, and after that, you've got to become friends.
Gee, that sounds wonderful. You mean I can say anything to him that I want?
Sure.
Oh, boy. Tie his hands and let's go, kid.
Okay, I'll be the referee, and the guy who scores the most points gets the decision. Hey, Bing. Bing. Mm-hmm. Step over here, will you?
What are you two guys cooking up? As if I didn't know it was me.
Well, Bing, the time has come to stop these silly arguments between you and Sinatra, so we're going to let you insult each other all you please one last time. Are you ready to rip into him, boy?
I have been for years.
Good, we'll get started. Ladies and gentlemen, we now present the battle of the century, a fight to the finish between no hair and no anything.
Red Skelton gets out soon. You watch it. Be steady. Take your time.
What'd you say, dear?
Red Skelton will be out soon.
Yes.
I hope when he gets out, you get some civilian clothes, too.
Right.
You look like Jeff Davis's advance agent. A millionaire dressed like a bum. Go ahead, let's start. Yes.
Yes, yes.
It's a bum dressed like a millionaire.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He finally found his lungs and said something. In this corner, a fight to...
Come on.
Fight to the finish between no hair and no anything. In this corner, dynamic Frank Sinatra, weight 175 and a half ounces. And over here, bulging Bing Crosby, right in the pink of young lardhood. Okay. Come out swinging. You're first, Sinatra. Call Crosby something.
Well,
come on, come on. Call him something.
Well, gee, there's so much to choose from. Can I call him anything?
Sure, anything.
Anything at all?
That's right, sure. Call him the worst thing you can think of.
Okay. Bing, you're a Bob Hope. That's what you are.
Oh, I'll never be able to top that. Never in the world.
A fine fight. Everybody hits the referee here tonight.
Okay, wide drawers, it's your turn. It's your turn to insult Bones. Okay.
Well, let's see now. I'd like to come up with something that'll live for years. Even if the recipient won't. I think I have it.
All right, let it go.
Sinatra, you, sir, are so completely emaciated that you could stroll through an olive without even disturbing the pimento.
End of round one. We find at this point that Crosby is leading by a nose.
I'm glad you're not in this, Hope.
Lay off my shiv, bub. Okay, round two coming up. You take it first, Cabbage Head.
Okay, here I go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. After you, sir.
No, I think he meant you, sir.
Well, who did you mean, Hope?
Oh, I think I should have been more specific. I meant the cabbage head with the hair.
See? I told you he meant me, kid.
I should have known. You've got the right complexion for it, too. Just right.
Well, don't stand there, Frank. You're not going to let him get away with calling your names, are you?
You bet your life I'm not.
Well, go ahead. Answer him back.
Well, you're darn right I will, hey. Sticks and stones can break my bones and so can soft-boiled eggs. So there.
Well, that ends it, folks. Command Performance has just brought you a battle between two great singers, too little and too late. Okay, boys, the insults are over. This is Christmas. You're both coming to my party later on. Step up here and shake hands.
Okay, Frankie, put her there.
Shake, Bing. Oh, well, I can always use it to wipe the windshield.
Just wrap it around the microphone, Frankie. You got to sing now.
Yeah, Frankie, what are you going to sing that I couldn't do half as well? Just for me, what are you going to sing?
I'd like to sing anything for you, Bing.
Oh, you're so sweet.
If I love you time and again, I would try to say, all I'd want you to know. If I loved you, words wouldn't come in an easy way. Round in circles I go. Longing to tell you, but afraid and shy. I'd let my golden chances pass me by. Soon you'd leave me. Off you would go in the mist of day. Never, never to know.
Now it's 3 hours later. We take you to Bob Hope's house on this Merry Christmas Eve. Yes, it's a great night for Bob. All his friends are there to help him celebrate. Everyone who loves him is at his house tonight. Let's look in on this scene of gaiety.
For I'm a jolly good fellow. For I'm a jolly good fellow. For I'm a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
'Cause no one's there.
You can't sing either, huh?
Gee, what a party. I expected 50 people and not one showed up. Now I'm stuck with 13 cupcakes. Gee, if only someone would show up. Anyone at all. Hey, maybe it's Hedy Lamarr. Maybe it's Ann Sheridan. Maybe it's Rita Hayworth. Whoever you are, come in and get kissed.
I hope my Emily mustache won't tickle.
Well, who are you?
Me, I'm a current Emily Mage, a private sad sack.
Wow. Oh, a soldier. How'd you happen to drop in tonight?
Well, you've always been my favorite Emily movie star. You see, I just love you on the radio. I wanted to see the great Bob Hope and it was too far to the nearest restroom.
Is that the only reason you came to my party?
Well, frankly, no. I thought you might have some civilian wax.
Oh, shame on you, Sack. Is that all you like to do, chase women?
Oh, no. There's something I like much better than chasing women.
What's that?
Catching them.
Well, Sack, I hate to disappoint you, but there are no girls here at my party tonight. In fact, there are no men either.
Oh, just our type, huh?
Yeah, that. Yeah, that's the way it is, Sack. I invited a whole crowd and no one showed up.
Gee, that's too bad.
Yeah, and I fixed up a big spread, too. Look over there in the dining room. See that big table of food with the cute maid standing next to it?
Yeah.
Well, there's no use letting it go to waste. Why don't you go over and help yourself to anything you want?
Don't you think she'll mind?
Oh, that's okay. And to show you my heart's really in the right place, servicemen, half price. So long. Well, 11:30, looks like no one's coming. I'm sure they could find the house unless my neon sign went out. The one that says guided tours through the home of the world's number one comedian. Men a dollar, children 50 cents. Women, I'm sure we can come to terms. Gee, what a letdown. Oh, well, I'll stretch out on the couch for a few minutes and take it easy. Boy, this is comfortable. Hedy, please. Don't, Hedy, not in public. Hedy, stop. It's not nice to bite your nails.
Gee, look, on the couch.
Yes, it's Bob, fast asleep.
Aw, isn't he cute all curled up?
Curled up is right.
See, you'd think he'd get his nose straightened out, wouldn't he?
And I gotta be sleeping.
So that's what Bob looks like when he's asleep.
Yeah, ghastly, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. He's kind of nice looking. Look at that square chin. And look at those square shoulders.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest squares I ever seen.
Listen, I think he's snoring. Oh, look, he's awake.
Well, so you got here after all, huh?
Why, sure, Bob. You didn't think we'd desert you on Christmas Eve, did you?
Well, no, sir. We simply had to come here tonight because our widow dream man is here.
Well, now you're talking.
And we all want to give our dream man a kiss.
This gets better and better. Keep moving.
And we just want to love him to death.
One at a time, girls.
Say, we're not going to wait another minute. We're going to start kissing right now.
Yeah, not so fast. Emily, Merry Christmas, everybody.
And now with a Christmassy note, here's the Bob Mitchell Boys Choir and Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Tis the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. Better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Have you been good as you could, as boys and girls all should? Who didn't mind, and who has been kind, as any good youngster would? Oh.
Better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice.
Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good.
So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to die.
Command Performance takes you now to Washington, D.C. for a Christmas message by the Commander-in-Chief. Ladies and gentlemen, the President.
Men and women of the Armed Forces, it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I say Merry Christmas to you who have given this nation and all nations this first Christmas of peace in so many years. We are happy today because our hymns of thanksgiving are not mocked by the sound of gunfire. We are happy because we know that you are safe and will return to us when your duty ends. We are grateful that such Americans as you are representing the United States of America and all that it means with the other nations of the world. Yes, it is indeed a Merry Christmas, and the gift of peace that you have given to your country is and shall remain the most cherished of all the gifts to man. It is not possible to repay a man for the years of his youth, or for his sacrifice of health, or for the loss of his buddies. But there is one thing the American people can and will give you. It is the resolution, the determination, that the freedom you bought so dearly will never be jeopardized again, that the victory will be used to try to work out a lasting peace and a better world. Thank you, and God bless you on this Christmas. I say this not as your Commander-in-Chief, not as President of the United States, but as a fellow citizen who knows in his heart how much you have given to keep all men free.
Thank you, Mr. President. And now it's time for a command performance tradition. You know, this is our fourth Round the World Christmas program. Each one ended with our singing the carols, the Christmas songs we all love. But in 1941 and 2 and 3 and 4, there were silent places where our voices didn't reach. Christmas 1945 and the bright melodies of the carols go swinging down the streets of Berlin and Tokyo, too. Judy, Dinah, Ginny, Frances, Bing, and the choir are joining hands with all of you overseas and on the seas to sing the great songs of peace on this, the first Christmas of peace in a long, long time.
Streets all connect now. Euclid Avenue and the Wilhelmstrasse, Broadway and the Ginza, Wilshire Boulevard and the jungle paths and airstrips of Africa and Asia and the islands of the sea. And so on this night when the Prince of Peace was born. All of us are joyful and triumphant. Francis?
Oh, come on, ye faithful, joyful and
with a belt in his hand, has a faraway look in his eye. He knows that he can't really celebrate until all of you come home. And so he rings it for you in Germany and France and Italy, for the ATC crews at dozens of airstrips, for all of you in England and India and China and Japan. And not far from Santa's Corner and Little Church, your folks are sitting, and they sing a song of peace on earth, and in their hearts is great thanksgiving. Jenny?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join in triumph of the skies.
Angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Tonight, in the cathedrals of the world, the freedom-loving people of the United Nations, citizens of Earth, are singing a song of liberty. They find strength and peace, as they did in war,
by heralding again the moment 1945 years ago when a little child was born.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in my dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are born in
Australia, Guam, the Philippines. We'd like to wrap up all of home and send it to you. The crystal snow, the look on a kid's face when he sees his new sled, the trees and the wood smoke, the dime store windows, the Tom and Jerry, the smile you happen to love. It all means Christmas. Judy?
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth,
this is a happy Christmas, all right. It's a great Christmas. Next year, pray God, all of you will be singing this at your own fireplaces, around your own trees, this song that means so much to all of us. Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
The bells of Christmas 1945 ring out clear and free around the world to you. Listen to them. Their message comes from the hearts of 132 million grateful Americans. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And Merry Christmas to all of you.